In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Our Caesar, who art in Rome, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom, thy empire come. Thy will, Caesar, be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us any crimes against the empire. Blah, 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 blah. I hope you realize how blasphemous that was, although I was using it as an example. An example of a perversion of the allegiance we owe to the state versus the true allegiance we owe to God. For the Lord God and His kingdom come first. Come first in the life of the Christian. The setting for today's gospel is Holy Week, the week of the Friday that Jesus was crucified. Jesus' enemies were plotting against him, seeking to destroy him. We hear that in the first verse of today's gospel reading. The Pharisees went and they plotted against Jesus. They were seeking to entangle him in his words, to trip him up, to make him say something that would get him in trouble with the authorities. The Pharisees sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, and the Herodians were the ones who supported King Herod. The Pharisees, they despised the Roman rule over Judea and Galilee. The Herodians, meanwhile, cozied up to the Romans, and they were despised by the Pharisees. So here we have two different political parties joined together, united in their hatred of Jesus. So the Pharisees and the Herodians came to Jesus, and they're trying to butter him up with their words, trying to act as though they believe that he is the Messiah. He is the teacher sent from God. But their words are malicious at heart. Teacher, we know that you are true. We know that you teach the way of God truthfully, and you don't care about anyone's opinion. You speak the truth, whether it steps on the toes of this one or steps on the toes of that one. You are not swayed by appearances. Oh, anyone hearing this would think, they like me. They respect me. They think I'm someone special. So teacher, in light of these things, tell us what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus was aware of their malice. Jesus was aware that they were trying to entangle him in his words. Because if Jesus said, no, it's not lawful to pay taxes to Caesar, the Herodians would say that Jesus was a traitor against the ruling authorities. And actually, we are told that when the leaders of the Jews appeared before Pontius Pilate to lodge accusations against Jesus, one of the things they said he was guilty of was that he said it wasn't lawful to pay taxes to Caesar. It wasn't lawful for a Jew to have any allegiance at all to Caesar. It wasn't lawful for a Jew to recognize any form of civil government except the theocracy that had been established under the laws of Moses. But Jesus, again, was aware of their malice. And he said, why do you put me to the test? Why do you tempt me? Using the same word that is used of Satan's temptations in the wilderness. Why do you tempt me, you hypocrites? And we're going to see what kind of hypocrites they were. Show me the coin used for the tax. So they brought him a denarius. And on this denarius was the bust of Caesar on the front of, on the face of the coin. And there was an inscription on the coin that basically said, Tiberius, who was emperor at that time, son of the divine Augustus, high priest and ruler. That was making some mighty big claims for a Caesar. That was saying that he was divine, he was Lord. And that certainly went against the law of the Jews, who said, there is no God but one. There is the one true God, and him only will we serve. Whose likeness and inscription is this? They said, Caesar's. And Jesus said to them in reply, and notice the subtlety of his answer. Okay, render to Caesar's the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. What he actually says is, give back to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and give back to God the things that are God's. Now the question is, what should the Jews, what should we give back to Caesar, to the government, to the state? And what should we as Christians give back to God? Well, Jesus confounded those who came to test him, because he did not preach revolution against the Romans, as many people at that time expected the Messiah to do, nor did he say that Caesar, that the state, came above God. His enemies were confounded. They heard it. They marveled. Boy, he got out of that one. And they left him and went away. So, we are to pay taxes to the government, even though the government may take more than its share. We are to honor the government, except when the government encroaches upon, intrudes upon the things that are God's, that belong to God. There's an apostrophe in there. The apostle said in the book of Acts, you tell us which is proper, to obey God or to obey man. And this was when there was a conflict between the ruling Jesus's authorities, the ruling Jewish authorities, and the apostles' call to proclaim the gospel in Judea and Samaria and all the Mediterranean world. You hypocrites, Jesus said. Why did he say you were hypocrites? Because the Pharisees themselves, who despised the Roman government, themselves had a coin bearing this inscription that I previously mentioned about Tiberius Caesar. Now let's speak briefly about the things that are God's. Again, with the apostrophe, the things that belong to God. The coin that the Pharisees and Herodians showed Jesus, again, had that inscription, that likeness, that image of Caesar upon them. And I will say this, the government does not own you. Many times it acts like it does. But you belong to God. You belong to the one who created you. You belong to the one who has redeemed you in Christ Jesus. And you owe him, and I owe him, our ultimate allegiance. We're told in Genesis that God created man in his own image and likeness. We're told in the New Testament epistles that the image of God is found in Christ Jesus, true man and true God, the perfect man. God who became man so he could bring us the forgiveness of sins, bring us life eternal, so he could redeem us body and soul. Jesus is the image of God, the likeness of God, and here it is. You bear the likeness of God. That image of God that was lost in the fall is being restored in you who belong to Christ, so that one day when Christ returns, that image will be fully restored to you, and you will be as God intended our human race to be when he created Adam and Eve. So you have the image of Caesar versus the image of God which you bear as Christians. Render to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar. Pay taxes, vote, honor the government in so far as it is possible. Do that because God has appointed government, rightful government, just government, for the punishment of evildoers and to reward those who do good. But again, if there is a conflict between the government and your calling as a Christian, what should take priority? Your calling as a Christian, Christ Jesus, the one who suffered and died and was raised again for you. The government cannot redeem you. Yes, we receive benefits from the government, earthly benefits, and so we pay our taxes. But the government won't get you to heaven. Even though sometimes, or all the times, in political campaigns we hear these elaborate, extravagant promises that if we vote for a certain candidate, everything's going to be good, everything's going to be well. The world itself, the country itself, will be transformed. I ain't seen it yet. The early Christians were persecuted for this reason, because all Roman citizens, all who lived in Rome, were required to offer a pinch of incense before a bust of Caesar on a censer, an incense burner. And as they did so, they were supposed to say, to show their allegiance to the Roman state, "Caesar is Lord." And this was said of Caesar. And no matter what, you could go on being a Christian as long as you did that. Caesar is Lord. And the early Christians claimed that Jesus is Lord. So there was a conflict. Many Christians refused to say that. They refused to give their ultimate allegiance to Caesar. They were probably given a second chance, maybe even a third chance. But if they persisted in their denial of Caesar's lordship and stood firm in their confession that Jesus is Lord, the Romans had a way of dealing with them, sending them out to face the lions, igniting them after they were tied to lamp posts so they could illuminate the night in Rome, or even crucifying them. These early Christians who suffered and died were ready to give Caesar the honor due him as the governing authority. Paul says, honor the governing authorities. Peter says, honor the king, respect the king, respect the emperor. But again, when Caesar went too far and claimed an allegiance that was not his rightfully, these early Christians who were martyred for their faith said, no, we won't do that. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He's your Lord. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All earthly governments will one day pass away, but the kingdom of God, which Jesus has ushered in and will usher in all its fullness when he returns, this kingdom of God among us, present in word and in sacrament, this kingdom of God will endure forever. And you can't say that of the Roman Empire. You can't say that of the Persian Empire, the Babylonian Empire. You can't even say that about the United States. But you can say that and confess that and rejoice in that regarding the kingdom of God of which you have a part, the kingdom of God in which your true citizenship is in heaven, the kingdom of God in which you have not merely forgiveness of sins, but life eternal and the hope and assurance of the resurrection for the sake of Jesus, who fell afoul of the Roman authorities, fell afoul of the Jewish authorities. But you know what? God vindicated him. He raised him on the third day. And so you shall be vindicated too when you rise again. And just between you and me, Washington can't bring that to pass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.